Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Okay, so now, what you've been waiting for, the moment you've been waiting for. Come on over here, my friend. Come over here. You guys, I told you, as promised, I told you people were going to speak. This is the first one. The first one on your Sunday back, you guys. Bring your stuff on over here, Steve, because I'm going to talk about you for a minute. If you have ever been encouraged by this man, could you stand up? If you've ever felt encouragement from Steve Bomarito, could you stand up? Yeah, you can clap. It's worth it. He hates this so much. Listen, they can sit down. I just wanted you to know that when you bring a word, we are encouraged. And so I'm ready to hear it, and I'm excited for it. So this guy and his beautiful wife, Star, over here. Just see, everybody just loves you. We love you so much. And when you bring a word as an elder in the house, we receive it, you know, as the children of God. And so I just pray, just stretch your hands towards Steve. His fingers are so tired from the bass. You know, he's already done a whole bunch of ministry this morning, but we just pray for the word of the Lord to come.
Thank you.
For the word of the Lord to come, to rest on you, Steve, to come out through that heart of encouragement. God, for your words, his words to be your words to us, and I pray for every heart to receive it in the name above every name, Jesus. Amen. Don't you hold back, friend. Go have a good time. Have fun. Well, welcome him, you guys.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Man, I just praise the Lord. Nice to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's funny, Pastor Lisa mentioned that this morning. Thank you for standing up. But I was asking, what am I going to start with this morning? And honest to goodness, my heart told me, as I look throughout this entire congregation, I think I could individually stand each one of you guys up and give you a dissertation of praise that your guys' life has endued upon me. So I'm just telling you, man, it's a good thing, right? The old Scott Davidson says, you know, if we're just known as a church of love, you know. We live in a world just knows everything, right? Can we just take a break and just, maybe we can just love each other, right? And get past all the political nonsense, all the conservatism, liberalism, left, right, up and down, and just give it back to the throne of grace, amen? My heart's been on many things lately. I'm getting closer to my retirement ages. My wife and I have been talking back and forth as far as our future. It's a little scary. And just time. Time has been on my heart. Just the word time. And I want to give you all a little test this morning. And this one blew me away. And I failed it miserably. Not by example. But I'm going to ask you guys something this morning. Give me the definition. If I give you a piece of paper, write this down. Give me the definition of time. Define it. Don't give me an example. Define it. That's a tough one, isn't it? So I looked it up, and this is what the dictionary said. Time is the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future, regarded as a whole. That's a lot to get your mind around, isn't it? So when I gave you that definition just now, who comes to mind? Perhaps God, the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole? You can't get your mind around it. You know, we think we're so smart, but we live in this finite body with this finite flesh, and we try to go ahead and judge or define an infinite God, right? You can't get your mind around it. So I don't know if I can use this word, but the Lord kind of gave me a revelation and on time. Time to me, when I was down studying, the indefinite continued progress of existence and events held in the dominion of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. How about that? God owns time. God owns time. I don't know if it was Stacy or Chrissy talked about breath, right? When we breathe, Yahweh, we are so entwined, created by the master of the universe, and he owns time. And you know what? We are in charge. We think we're so much in charge of our lives. We're in charge of everything, but we don't have a nickel's opinion or worth when it comes to time. Time owns us, doesn't it? At least it does me. The more I've been reading through this, also our time and existence proclaims him, whether we acknowledge it or not. Us being here acknowledges the Lord. We fill time. We fill the grace of God, right? Our very own existence and events of the past. Here's the definition of time with us. Our very own indefinite existence and events of the past, present, and future that make us whole, ordained by the Lord. But he's given us a free will, amen? So now we're in the middle of this. We're in the middle of this journey of life that's defined by time in our mind, finite, but God owns a time from eternity. Try to get around this. God owns time from eternity to eternity. He owns existence from eternity to eternity. I just was taken aback in an Old Testament awe of the power of the Father. You know, time. That's why everyone that's of this earth is precious in the sight of the Lord, man. They fill a morsel of time. Sometimes you don't last long on this earth and last a long life. So let me help me get myself grounded here before we get kick-started more. Let's stand up and pray. Brought a New Testament verse just to help ground me too, but it's Galatians 5:13. It reads, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for our team. I thank you for our people, Lord. Lord, if you need to break our heart to rebuild our spirit and recultivate our life, Lord, to understand that you own time, Lord, and you own us, Lord. We want to be owned. We're coveted by you, Father. Lord, let us covet you, Lord. Let's keep you, Lord. You're a jealous God to us, Lord. Let our hearts be a jealous person towards our King. We thank you for this church and this body. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. Relax. Star and I went to Florida last week. It was a four-day, I call it the 96-hour. It's a 96-hour day, man. We fly out on Thursday. Our assignment was to babysit the boys all day Friday. My son was working. My daughter-in-law, she was on a trip for the weekend. We went to dinner that night. We got the kids, five boys. So it's like a squirrel cage. And during the summertime, they're not going nowhere. They're staying home. So they get up at 0:30, and they go to bed about 8 o'clock p.m. It's like a squirrel cage the whole time, right? So we're running with these kids. And I was just in awe of being around these children who didn't care about time. They just cared about they just lived their life, man. Like, I wish we could do that a little bit more, you know? They just live their life and enjoy life. They're going through their summertime. And and then Saturday we got up and we went to a water park. Man, that water park, man, I was with that little, the baby, he's 18 months old, I think. I laid in this shallow water like half a day in the baby pool, right, with him, man, running around, and he's just, you know, he's 100 degrees out, and then we made it through that night, and then Sunday we went to church. My son serves at a big mega church down there. And then Sunday afternoon, we went to the beach, man, with the same five fellas and more kids, man. And I mean, we're all over these kids, and we just went 100 miles an hour. And now, that was all an event of just participating with children. Children didn't care about it. But I was down there. I caught myself for a second, a little haughtiness, like, well, Lord, I don't have a boat. I don't have all these things. And you know what, man? I kind of fell into sin of self-pity. That's sin. You know that? You look around, look at everybody's got. I'm like, look what I got. If you have, you know, half the world, most of the world would probably want to trade places where we stand in our life. Do you know that? The time that we have and the place that we occupy, the world would want to stand where we're at. And we just always want more. We always need more. We always keep reaching for more. We got to have more. I need this. I've been deprived of this. The past is my job. Let me tell you something, guys. We are in God's grace to be alive and to be here at this moment. I'm telling you. And whatever your situation is right now, I'm telling you, you're precious in the sight of God. And the time that you have right now, man, Lord, touch my heart so I can say the right words here today. You know, time is a gift given by God for us to steward. And one day he will hold us accountable for how we spent our time. How will God judge us? Will he judge us on our acquisition? Or will he judge us on our achievements for the kingdom? There's a whole nother sermon. Your life of achievement? Do you live a life of acquisition on what you acquire? Kind of the world we live in. Or do you live a life of achievement, hopefully, to serve the king? Which one do you want to be spoken about you on that last day of your life? Of a time spent, of your achievements, hopefully? Or do you want to, because they're not going to be saying, man, he had a great boat out there in the, man, he just had the greatest, you know, collection of this, that, or the other. They're going to say, man, he was a friend of God, a friend of me, or she was a friend of us. Here's one for you for time. Do you know that each one of us, you say, well, I can't give this person enough, or I can't give. Each one of us, I was thinking about praying on this. The greatest gift you can give to another person is your time. It's not about, man, I can't bless this. I wish I could give my kids this, or I wish I could give this person that, or just give them your time. Lisa talks about this all the time. A phone call, a text, right? Fill their time with your, thank you, sorry about that. Fill their life with your time. You're giving people, I believe, your most precious commodity. I really do. Yeah. Time is a gift given by God, for sure. Here again, the great saints of our lives, even in their death, proclaim these truths daily as we look back. Not one of you that have a man or woman of God of your past thinks on about their possession. You think about their effect on your life. But who are we under the new covenant of Jesus Christ? You know, Queen Elizabeth stated, all my possessions for a moment of time. C.S. Lewis, I could read C.S. Lewis and just forget me preaching, just preach everything that C.S. Lewis wrote. I find it in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy. The most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Think about that. Paul talks about that too, that we are aliens of this world. You're never going to be satisfied in the flesh on what this world has to offer, guys. C.S. Lewis goes on to say, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. It's your walk in Christ that gives you guys that discernment, that those precious gifts of the Holy Spirit, man. That's how we get to see life. But we continue to resort back on the worldly defense mechanisms, right, of the flesh that are going to die as chaff. He goes on to say, here's another one. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run. This one penetrated me. I almost didn't put it here. It's like, you can't make this a negative sermon. I got news for you. Today's sermon is going to have a lot of negativity in it. You know why? Because I'm going to do is just put a mirror in front of us when we get into Ecclesiastes here in a few minutes. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him everything else is thrown in. You hear that? Amen, man. And you will find him, and with him everything else is thrown in. It's a good life in Christ. I had an old pastor. He blew me away. I was about 30 years old, Lisa. He goes, would I serve the Lord Jesus Christ if there was no eternal life? And he goes, absolutely. I just sat there in that, I was just floored. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. He goes, this is a better life in Christ on this earth, on this side of the veil. Anyway, the point, you see what I'm saying? But he blew me. He was a deep thinker, man. It was Aaron's dad. But think about that. Would I serve the Lord Jesus Christ if I knew, even if it was proclamated in Scripture, that there was no eternal life, but he died, that he gave us this beautiful life on this side here to live? Because not everybody gets to have a life, right? It blew me away. But man, it made me deep think. But then he goes, but guess what? We do have an eternal life, right? The streets of gold in the future for our lives. Guys, this is just a shadow of about to come. God has already blessed us if we just go ahead and partake and walk in his walk on that, through that narrow path that the Christ talks about. Lewis, here's one he says. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. Then he goes, it is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Think about that. Let that sink in. And then when I read that, then that scripture came to my mind. I think I put it up there, Donna. That Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus was 33 years old. You guys realize that, right? There's not 33-year-old men. Remember, he's the son of man. He always talked about, I'm the son of man. He was the son of God, but he was the son of man. And he knew his mission. There's not many 33-year-olds running around that know they're going to give their life for God and do it and go through it and go through it. And Jesus did that on our behalf, and he didn't have to. I shouldn't say he didn't have to. He didn't totally want to, but he said, but not by your will, but by yours. Right. He thought about the next line. And here's one for you, right? That the joy that was set before him, right? We all know that verse in Hebrews. That the joy set before him, he endured the cross, right? Who's the joy? We were the joy. He saw that, right? Just like C.S. Lewis said, right? The present world, he was precisely for those for the next. So today's main, we're going to go into one of those, we're going to talk about Solomon a little bit today, and we're going to go into the book of Ecclesiastes. Because I believe on this side of the world, I talk with a lot of my brothers that, we all have full-time, most of them are working, and some of us aren't working, and that's okay, because you're living for God. I shouldn't say you're not working man's work. You're working God's full-time job. Every man I know in our assembly has a full-time job. You should hear their testimonies on Wednesday night. I'm here to tell you. I love you, men. Thank you for your ministries, all of you men. But I'm the murmurer. I studied on time, and my mind went to Solomon in the book Ecclesiastes. Who's Solomon, you guys? He's the writer of the beautiful Psalms, right? His glorious life described. King Solomon was renowned for his immense wealth and profound wisdom, exceeding all the other kings of his time. His annual tribute alone was worth trillions of dollars. That's annually. So annually, he brought in trillions of dollars into the kingdom. How much money that is? I mean, that's more riches than we can even fathom, hardly. He possessed vast quantities of gold, silver, and precious stones. He amassed through trade the tribute. Solomon's wisdom attracted visitors from around the world, including the Queen of Sheba, who marveled at his palace, food, and offerings. And then he gets into the book of, so who's Solomon? He writes all them beautiful Proverbs we all know, right? He writes all the beautiful Psalms. But who's studied the book of Ecclesiastes lately? Life is meaningless. He flips the page totally over, and I'm like, man, he goes on a, we're talking about someone, the most blessed person that I've read in the entire Bible as far as monetarily speaking and kingmanship, and he goes on a rampage for like 12, 13 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. So I was like, and he's measuring time throughout this whole dark discussion. So let's go down that path a little bit with me, guys. Everything is meaningless. He starts in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. He goes on in verse 12. I, the teacher, was the king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And he goes on for more chapters. I'm kind of giving you a capsule view as we thread through this book of the Old Testament. He goes on about pleasures are meaningless. He goes on as wisdom and folly are meaningless. He goes on how toil or work is meaningless. I'm like, what is with this dude, man? If you read his Psalms or you know his life, he's on the royal stage of planet Earth, man. And I was thinking, you know how Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom? Just for a second, back up and think about that. Think about what kind of walk he had in God, the immense power that Solomon had to sustain, that he could have asked God for everything else, but he asked God for wisdom, and God says, man, that you just hit it out of the park. I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you everything that goes along with it here. And then he gave him all these fruits of the world, right? He goes, but then he really grovels down in chapter 2. Verses 17 and 18. Well, this is the guy I just read about who's on top of the world. He says, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. Of it, it's all meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish, yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. You can't bring it with you, can you, guys? You ever hear that phrase? He just makes a point there. You can't bring all this stuff with you. It's going to be left behind. Everything that we're like, oh, I've got to get this done. A lot of these things that we have to get done, when we turn the next page the next day, it could care less about us. Tell me what you did last year at this time, exactly. But your time in the ministry of God and your walk in the Lord, and maybe doing without something here, but might provide everlasting life to somebody that you know by sharing your word with them, your time with them. Amen. A time for everything. Chapter 3. I know we've seen this, right? The birds sing this song and turn, turn, turn. But you know, there is a time for everything. But I studied these scriptures here. Listen, I know we've read these chapter 3 before, but I studied these scriptures and I thought about my whole life. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under sun. A time to be born and a time to die. I just thinking about my family. I was thinking about the world around me, maybe some of the saints I didn't get to reach, or maybe I should have reached in that time, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. You know, I know why Jeremiah was the reaping prophet, man. He knew what sin was, destruction of God's people, right? And they considered him the weeping prophet because he couldn't get his point across to the Israelites. And he couldn't stand most of the people around him. He was one of those kind of guys, right? He was just always frustrated with the sin of the Israelites around him, right? A time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You see here, we have to let go of some things to gain other things here, right? A time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak. Man, I could use that one, and I mean it. I need to shut up more and listen more. The older I get, man, I'm just like, man, my life grows when my mouth's shut. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. But he goes on as far as he talks about advancement is meaningless. In chapter 5, he goes on to say, guard your steps, go to the house of God, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. Let your words be few. Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. Now he's kind of bringing it back home. He talks again about riches being meaningless. I'm like, what is your problem, man? Because he knows he has a life spent behind him with all these riches, all these blessings, right, that he can't take with him. And he's just coming to this epiphany of his heart that, gosh, all this stuff is meaningless, but think about it in the context of the walking God here, right? Because we're going to go into the new covenant quickly here. In chapter 6, everyone's toil is for their mouth, yet their appetite is never satisfied. Are you guys ever satisfied? We go to work every day to take care of our families. We have to do these things. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Now listen to this next one. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. You hear me? Really read that scripture for what it says. Don't go on some campaign you think you know everything about here. It's outside the will of God or what he's got in your life. You can get yourself scorched. You can get yourself killed. Think you're going to go on some... Stay with the Lord here, right? Stay in step with what God's got, right? He's given you a free will here, right? But do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases. In other words, God doesn't change. The sovereignty of God doesn't change. So don't get on some campaign all of a sudden. I just lovingly warn you, man. Go to the throne of grace. A lot of times God will like, I don't want you going down that road. No, you don't need to fight that battle. I've got that in check. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Truthfully, I don't think God cares about our politics. It's our heart he jams up with his truth. Think about that. Your heart's jammed up, and that's what happens here. We get jammed up with the truth of God. That's a good jamming, right? But all of a sudden, it goes at war with the enmity of our flesh. Use your time with the Father. Use your time with the Lord. He'll never steer you wrong. Oh, I'm bored. But you're alive. And you're alive for another day. You're alive in your flesh and you're alive spiritually, right? We always tell it to the fellas on Wednesday night. It's crazy weeks, right? But when we're on Wednesdays, we're like, hey, we're at a safe place. We're at a safe place. For here right now, at this moment here, I don't care how cranky Rick is or myself. Me and Rick, we're both telecom and network engineering kind of guys. We text each other during the day who's having a worse day, but that's beside the point. I love that dude, man. Chapter 12, he goes on to say, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. You know, the ecclesiastical life that we as Christians tend to excuse and lean on was defeated and dumbfounded by the supernatural and finished work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All this ecclesiastical stuff that I'm reading about, it's all was defeated at the cross of Calvary. And the joy that was set before him is all of us here in our existence, in his grace and his glory. We've got a good future, guys. Everybody's got a good future here, I'm telling you. Stay with the program. Can we learn from the man who attained all the riches and glory that even we as Christians seek, knowing that they are but dust and meaningless, and instead accept the call of success in the Lordship of Jesus Christ? So here's, I'm coming back into our conclusion as we finish here. So here, once again, and this can never be repeated enough, Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moss and vermin destroy and where thieves break and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moss and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break and steal. I'm sorry. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the key verse for today. Where your heart is, where your treasure is. Not all these things that we're going after, man. Your heart. And here's what God treasures, your heart. When we love each other, right? I treasure your heart, Marvin. Right? Your heart is your part of your eternal life, man. That's what I treasure. And what can I do for your heart with materialism or this, that? If I can give it time. You see where I'm going? It's a good life, guys. And we've all been equipped with the same power and grace of the same Holy Spirit from the same Jesus who died on the one cross and gives us the resurrection power. It's alive and well. It's not boo-hoo-hoo and all that stuff that I talked about with Jeremiah or with Solomon's griping here along in Ecclesiastes here. It's a good life. John 14. I'm sorry, yeah, John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And in our valuable time, I wrote, the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the way, in the truth, and the life is regarded as a whole through Jesus Christ. It all comes back to the throne of grace. It all comes back to the finished work and the fact of who we are in Christ and not who we are in the world. I challenge you guys to take your time and just refocus it on what's important, right? Because the way, think about that. Think about time, the way, the truth, and the life in Christ is all, it's cultivated all in the time stamps of our life, right? The definition I gave you, I can hardly remember. It's so deep, right? Regarded as a whole. It's all Christ. It's all the Father. It's all the Holy Spirit. It's all us in one accord with Jesus Christ. Our message today, when lived apart from God, life is ultimately meaningless and futile. But that a life lived in the fear of the Lord and accepting the life that Jesus consecrated into our hearts, sealed through his shed blood and validated for all eternity through his resurrection. Only this path and this path alone will absolve our lives and future into his blessed hope. Amen. Today is the day of the Lord, Pastor and church. So I want you guys to have a great week. I think I stayed within time. I've gotten in trouble about that. Pastor, we can pray together, whatever you want to do here to end the service.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, how we always hear that phrase, stop and smell the roses.
Kind yeah.
Of I was thinking about that when you were talking and just thinking, do you appreciate this word this morning, you guys? Yeah, I do too. I do too, Steve. And, you know, I know as we get older, it's like we've probably lived more than we have left what we have for sure. We've lived more than we have left. And so when you get to this certain point, it is a lot of wisdom to roll out and to speak about it. And so I just wanted to say thank you for the word. And I also wanted to encourage us, you know, that the Bible teaches us that we should live our lives as though our days are numbered. Do you know why? Because they are. Will you stand up with us this morning? I'm going to have Steve pray over us that we would be wise stewards of our time and of our days and that we live with every moment left and every borrowed breath unto the Lord. Right, Steve, why don't you say a prayer?
Okay.
Blessing.
And after service, if someone wants prayer, come on up. We'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. We love working together in this ministry, right, we guys? So, Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people, Lord. I just ask you to put your hedge of protection, Lord. Let us know, Lord, give us the wisdom of Solomon, Lord. Give us the wisdom of your heart and your word, Lord. Put your hedge of protection around us, Lord. Let each decision we make fill the gap of time that's in front of us, Lord, to fulfill the mission that you left us, Lord, the Great Commission, Lord, to share the word of Jesus Christ to men and women, to boys and girls, Lord. It's a good life, Lord, because you created us to live in this good life, Lord. Look, give us the knowledge and give us the spirit in our heart, Lord, to take advantage of that. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, Lord, for your people. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much. We thank you for this Friday until we meet again. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.